I'd like to start off by thanking the members here for the opportunity to come before you this morning to bring a lesson. If there's anything that I say here this morning that is not found in the Bible, or I misrepresent what God or Jesus or any of his disciples and apostles are trying to say, you would be my best friend if you would point it out to me. In no way do I want to stand up here and misrepresent what is in this book and what I'm about to say. I am a person who kind of likes to do things different. Some of the cliches in this world kind of get on my nerves. One of the biggest cliches I think that's happening today in a lot of different so-called places of worship is New Year's sermons. But that's exactly what I'm going to do this morning, because it is a wonderful opportunity. The fact still remains that it is one of the best times to talk about new things. There's no doubt that many of us celebrate Christmas in the way of giving presents, getting together with family, and we ask, what did you get for Christmas this year? And no doubt those are probably new things. So some of us here may be wearing new clothes. Some of us may have new things to take to work and school with us. Some of us may have new things for entertainment purposes. iPads, iPods, and all this other electronic stuff that is way over my head. But it's the latest thing. New things that we can have for the new year. And again, one of the other cliches is New Year's resolutions. And the horrible stat that everybody seems to recognize on this part of the year, the very first part of the year, is that most of those 90% of the New Year's resolutions, based on polls, are pretty much done and over with and forgotten about in 1 month. So by February, they're shot, they're messed up, or they didn't really even start them, so you're not going to start them now because it's not the new year anymore. The freshness of the new year is just, you know, we might as well just wait till next year, or you just forget about it totally. But I want to talk about new things. I want to talk about what we can do here today and what we can do here every time we meet and what we can do in our lives when we sit down to pray to the Lord and when we sit down to study our Bibles. We can make everything anew because we realize that God and Jesus made things new. We can renew ourselves daily. We can rededicate ourselves every day. And this is a great time to do it because it's the first of the year. We can set our minds to doing the things we need to be doing in our lives because it is the first part of the year. It's helpful. Because it's the first part of the year at school, at jobs, and things start over. And it's easy for us to make the transition mentally and spiritually in our head to start over also. If we're not happy with the Christians that we were last year, to change that. But how do we really know that God means what he says? In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, then he sat on the throne. This is a throne of authority. That's one. And he said to me, he sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So these words are true and faithful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is a wonderful opportunity in life around the first of the year to say goodbye to old things. Becoming a Christian and becoming a follower of Christ, to be Christ-like, is what that's all about. Leaving the old man behind, leaving this old world behind, and the things that go along with it. Understanding, as verse 17 says, we are a new creation. We are to have those old things pass away and realize that all things have become new. Everything that we're doing in life, our motivation, the way we think, and everything that we do in life, we ought to think about it as Christ would have us do it. And that's a very unselfish way of doing things. It's a very non-worldly way of doing things. Because most of the time we do things for ourselves. The TV and the radio and the magazines tell you to do for yourself. Make yourself better. Make your decisions on your life because it's your life and nobody else's. We see here we are to ask Jesus as far as what our lives are concerned with and what we ought to be concerned with. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We see the activities of a new creature. These are the things that we should be doing as new creatures in Christ. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, having kindness and humility, meekness and long-suffering. If these things are absent in the year 2010 in your life, or they didn't happen too many times, this is a great opportunity to increase that. This is a great opportunity to realize the situations where those things didn't happen, to make new situations, to recognize the situations when those didn't happen, and insert these things. This is what saved people do. This is what new creatures do in Christ. But we have help in Colossians, also in Colossians chapter 3, 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And in verse 17 is a huge verse because of every little thing we do on this earth. From getting up in the morning to eating breakfast, to getting in our cars and going to work and going to school, anything that we can do in life, are we doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus? Now, some of those things seem menial and seem stupid and doesn't seem important enough to involve Jesus Christ and involve His teachings and the way He wants you to do things. But that would be a huge error on your part because of the way we think about things. If somebody cuts you off going to work and you have several words pass through your head for what they are, you have several emotions go through your head as far as how mad that makes you, it's not a menial thing. You've started the day off in a negative sense. Somebody at work makes you mad. Somebody at school makes you mad. Everything we do and everything we feel and think needs to go through Jesus as far as how He would deal with things, how He has told us to deal with things, to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom and teaching. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, we see that God made this new start possible. All these things we write to you that your joy may be full. In verse 5 through 9, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is the light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see all unrighteousness, and we have a new start. All unrighteousness can be taken away, and we can have a new start in Jesus Christ. And it's very important here to realize and not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Sin is in this world, and sin is in your life. You will have thoughts in your head, and they sometimes will lead to actions that you will regret. It is Jesus Christ and his death that gives us the forgiveness and the ability to come back into the fold. The ability for those things to be blotted out. The forgiveness of sins that comes from his death is the ability to start anew. In Romans chapter 6, staying on this theme of new things, Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also ought to walk in newness of life. Now in the world this would be a complete oxymoron or an opposite of what people would think that you need to think about. I'm talking about the new year, I'm talking about new beginnings. And now, at this specific time, I'm talking about death. And more specifically, I'm talking about the death of Christ. But the fact, and then the faith that we believe in the fact that he rose from the dead, in baptism we can be buried with him and raised also into newness of life. So we need to remember that. That needs to be in the pinnacle of our minds and in our life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the basis for everything that we do. It's because we can have forgiveness of sins through his sacrifice and through his resurrection, we can rise anew in life. Any day that we choose to, any day that we choose to accept the salvation that God has given us, choose to accept his invitation to be children of God, to be his children, and to be like Christ as our ultimate example. You don't have to wait till January 1st or 2nd. You don't have to wait till the next time we meet. We need to be renewed in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We could talk for weeks, a week of Sundays, about just this scripture as far as what it's saying and what you need to be doing. We are not to give place to the devil. Most of the things that I see, quite frankly, in my life that are wrong, the things in my life that shouldn't be, the thoughts that I have, the actions that I might take, are all because I gave place to the devil. They're all because I had room in my life for the devil. And if I had room, I wasn't doing what I needed to be doing as a Christian. It wasn't full enough. I didn't do everything that God tells me to do. I didn't study enough and pray enough and keep my heart and mind spiritual enough to not let the devil in. So we need to think about that. We need to think about if the devil is present in our lives, if evil is present in our lives, impurity, immoral acts, immoral thoughts, anything that we might see on TV that we allow ourselves to see, any place that we go and see things that we shouldn't see, we made that happen. We can't just throw it off and say it's the world we live in. We can guard ourselves and our mind. God gives us that ability. God gives us plenty to do to fill our mind with the right things, to not give place to the devil. We are to be angry and do not sin. That's probably one of the hardest things for human beings to do in this world. If you're angry, the world tells you to do something about it. And 99% of the time, my opinion is it's sin, or it could lead to sin. Because if you're angry and acting out of that anger, nothing good is going to happen from that. Only more anger, only more bad things. If something bad was said, more bad things are going to be said. More feelings are going to be hurt. Be angry and do not sin. And it's very important not to let the sun go down on your anger. Not let the sun go down on your wrath. And you can go to sleep. You can forget about it for a time, and you can go to sleep and wake up refreshed in the morning with that still in your head. Not forgotten. Always remembered. And then you start keeping score. I've done it. I've kept things in my mind, and then the next bad thing somebody does to me, I add it to the last thing. And by the time I'm through, they're the most horrible person that I've ever met in my life. And that is wrong. You have to be forgiving. In verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Anytime that you feel wronged, anytime that you feel like this person is against me, this person is doing things against me, and how can I forgive? We are always to remember the forgiveness in Jesus Christ and His forgiveness for us. When we are completely and totally unforgivable, He forgave us and died for our sins. In Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We see here again the putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new man. There's action involved. We can't just flub through life and hope for the best. I've done that and it's gotten me nowhere. I've worked and just and gone home, not studied, not prayed like I ought to, and wonder why I don't feel right, wonder why I'm spiritually sick a lot of the times, wonder why the world gets to me, wonder why I become short-tempered, wonder why everything bothers me, because that's what this world is set up to do. And if you don't have what it takes in your head that's in here to battle those things, to make sense out of it all, or to realize it doesn't make sense, and this is what makes sense, and this is what you need to turn to, then those things will continue to happen. You can't flub through it. You have to put off the old man, not do those things anymore, and do these things. I come across people in life that tell me, well, the Bible just doesn't tell me what I need to do. That couldn't be further from the truth. I have not read many scriptures this morning, and all of them tell you what you ought to be doing. And they all tell you what you shouldn't be doing, and then tell you what you need to do. And that's the kind of person I am. The kind of person I am, you tell me what not to do, and then you tell me what to do. And then I'm complete. I can do that. It's very black and white and cut and dry. And there couldn't be anything more cut and dry than these verses. Also understanding that Christ is a mediator for us. In Hebrews chapter 9, talking about his death again and realizing that in his death became the forgiveness of our sins and that we can have salvation through him. Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. So we have a new way through Jesus Christ. He is the way. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There's a theme park in Cincinnati, Ohio. We used to live in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Cincinnati. The theme park was called King's Island. It's a lot like Six Flags, a lot like those kind of theme parks. And I can remember on a Friday night for dinner, Mom and Dad telling us just out of the blue that tomorrow we're going to get up in the morning and we're going to go to King's Island. And I thought at the time, I was probably 6 or 7, at the time I thought that was probably the best news that I could ever hear in my life. It was a fun place. I'd heard about it. There was all kind of rides and stuff to do. And I just thought that was the best thing in the world. I was looking forward to it. I didn't have to be woken up. I woke up automatically. I was excited for it to happen. Do we think the same way about assembling together? And this is hits home very much for me. And the reason that it does, if it is a hassle in any way to get here, if it is an inconvenience in any sense of the word to get here, then your life is not where it needs to be. And I'm saying that out of personal experience from looking at my life. If in any way that I think it is a hassle, an inconvenience, and even more with having a wife and a child and getting everything together, and the whole idea of having to go to church. I have to go to church. The whole idea that you do believe there is a God and you do believe there is a judgment and that you need to go to church to get away from that judgment. That is the wrong way to think about it. I need to be excited. I need to be as excited as I was to go to King's Island, to Disney World, to all those wonderful places that are on this earth, not realizing that when I come here, I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ, celebrating our citizenship in heaven, which is the most wonderful place that will ever be and that ever is and ever will be. Realizing the ultimate and total sacrifice that Jesus gave for us for forgiveness of sins, that we may be saved from this world. Realizing how important that is. Do we have the excitement that we need to have to come together? If you don't have that excitement, you're too involved in this world. And that's just the way it is. If you don't have the excitement of coming together as we are commanded with Christians, with people of like precious faith to study the Word in order to become more spiritual, in order to become more close to each other, and more importantly, more close to God, to realize every time that we come together, especially on Sunday, realizing the magnitude of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what it means in our lives because we call ourselves Christians. Realizing what that means. If you're not excited about that, then you are involved too much in this world. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, the same theme here. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And this is something that obviously that I've learned recently in my life. Everybody here that has had children and realizes the different things children do, the little attitudes that they have with everything that they do and how they grow into themselves, and what babies do. You're always there for them. You need to be there for them, to support them, to raise them, to take care of them as they are babies and can't defend themselves. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. It's just that simple. If you've seen a baby grab a bottle, seen a baby reach for a bottle, reach for something to be fed because they're hungry, do we reach for this in the same way? Does it sit in a bookcase on the coffee table? Does dust ever gather on it? Do we forget where it is? Do we misplace it? In another passage that I haven't got down here, we realize what it is as a part of the armor of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. We need this to fight in the battle of evil. We need this to fight the devil in this world. You would never knowingly, and especially for people who've been in the military in this audience, but even people who watch enough movies and know about the military enough, it is common sense that you'd never walk into a battle with nothing but your mouth to speak. If you've gotten as far as battle and war with somebody, that means that all talking has been done away with. There's going to have to be action now that's going to have to be taken. You need weapons for that. The devil doesn't want to talk to you. He wants you to do what he wants you to do. And you have to fight that with the sword of the Spirit. Have you ever misplaced your sword? Do you not know where your sword is? Is your sword gathering dust? Did your sword not been used in quite a while? Is it sharp or is it dull from its use? One of the big questions is, what are you looking for? In 2 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the Scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace of knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. What are you ultimately looking for? Are you looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells? Are you not only looking for, but also hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Realizing that that is going to happen, is it a wonderful thing to think about in your mind, or is it a horrible thing? If it's a horrible thing to think about, then quite frankly, you're not ready. If you are ready, you're looking for it. If you are ready, you're hastening the day. So we need to be reconciled. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that in the while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we are enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become sin, we might become the righteousness of God in him. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. So going to Acts chapter 4, I think Acts chapter 4 is an excellent story of how we need to be. We have talked a lot about the different things we need to be doing. And I guarantee you, if you're doing those things, the devil will not have a place in your life. The devil will not have an opportunity to enter your life. But we know if he does, that we can have forgiveness of those things. But Acts chapter 4 is an excellent story of what these people went through and how they decided to treat things when the world did what they did. When the world does things to you, reacts to you, how do you react? And this is an excellent example of how we need to be reacting. Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" They healed the lame man in the chapter before. So, "By what power have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people of the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Let it be known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all to the chief priests and elders what they had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The king of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and all the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. If I can leave you with anything today, in this new year, it is to study. To study and learn the things that we need to be doing as Christians. And to go the extra mile and do it with boldness. Do it like these men did in chapter 4, when everybody and everything was against them. When they were before all these people, receiving all these condemnations, receiving all this non-support for what they were doing, they didn't care. They knew what they were doing was right, and they knew that they could not help themselves. I know that in my life I've often helped myself not to do the will of the Lord and helped myself to do the will of Trevor or to do the will of other people that had nothing to do with the will of God. Do you have the feeling in your life that you cannot help but tell people about Jesus Christ? That you are a Christian in this world and you cannot help but share the love and compassion that is the story of Jesus Christ. The love and the compassion that is the people and the Christians in the New Testament and the people of God in the Old Testament. All the wonderful stories that are a part of the Bible. All the wonderful stories that you have personally and this wonderful life that you are able to live because Jesus Christ died for your sins. If you are a Christian here today and realize that you've heard the word, that you believe this word, confessing your sins before God, repenting, turning away from what you are doing, putting away the old man, wanting to put on the new man, realizing that salvation is through Jesus Christ, through baptism into his death, raising out of the water into newness of life, just like Jesus Christ raised from the dead after 3 days. If that's what you want to do here today, realizing that that's where salvation comes from, that's how it's going to happen, and that's the only way it's going to happen, as we've read here, only through Jesus Christ, we ask you to come. If you are not a Christian, and realize also that salvation is through Jesus Christ, you want to know more about Jesus Christ, you want to know more about the way we do things here. If you're not a Christian and realize that that's where salvation comes from, if we can do anything for you here today, I ask you to come as we stand and sing.
Thunder you'll stand at the bar on high. Thunder your record you'll see. Thunder you'll answer the question of why. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make yourself spotless and free. Wash in the blood of the crucified one. He will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be?
Thank Trevor for his message this morning. Appreciate his effort to come before us and claim God's word. We want to welcome again our visitors who are with us today. We want to welcome back our brethren who were traveling last week during the holidays to visit family. Glad everybody made it back safely for that. Lord willing, tonight we'll meet again at 6 p.m. Joe will have the message for us this evening. Encourage all to come back and be there for that. Is there anything else to be said before we close in prayer? If there's nothing else, we'll bow our heads and Bob will dismiss us in prayer this morning.
Gracious Father in heaven, we give you our thanks for this day, for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us far beyond our worthiness. We pray, Father, that we would use them in such a way that you would be pleased that we are your children. We ask, Father, that at the beginning of this new year that we would set our minds and resolve that we can grow closer to you through a study of your word. May we read and study and know what you would have us to do so that we can serve you all the days of our life in an acceptable manner. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.